stand till on Jersey in the stands. I'ma hit you on a slide.
What's up, everybody? What's up, everybody? Welcome to Fluent and Chill. We are back. It is a Tuesday, and we have a lot to talk about. Jay, how are you today?
Running good. H Boogie, what's going on with you?
Staying cool. It's finally finally a few degrees cooler over here in Portland, so enjoying that for sure. Fluent, how are you?
I like H Boogie. Let me start by saying that.
And H Boogie.
You can't see this, can you? Do you see me pointing at you right now?
Nope.
I promise. All right. We'll work on
that. It's the little frames, but I like it.
You know what it is? It absolutely. I wonder if I should do this to start.
Yeah, I like
it. Look at that. See? Yeah. Now you can see all the wonderful backgrounds.
Body language. It's important.
H Boogie over here.
I'm moving you guys around. We're having fun. We're having fun with this.
Tone over here.
What's up, everybody in the chat? What's up? Mm-hmm. What's up? It looks like
the chat is already popping. Nick Dawson, Mason King. What's up, everybody? What's good?
What's up, Jillian?
Prize Jillian, regular.
Hello, Jillian dear. How are you?
Bubba G. We're gonna get to. We're gonna do some super chats. We're gonna do some chats, but I'm sure we have a lot to talk about.
Mm-hmm. We do. But before we get started, so have either of you listened to Fluent and Chill on the podcast side of things, like from Spotify?
I did one time, once.
It's good. I like it. It's a vibe. I mean, I figured out two things. One, I need a new mic. These aren't going to cut it in the long run, but for now, we're chilling, you know? College student, so I have to watch where I spend my money, but...
Be careful.
Yes, got to be careful. But two, I really like it because it kind of helps me figure out, like, okay, like the intro Fluent, like you were saying, like the music at the beginning, like on here, the chat might not hear it or understand like what the point is, but like on the podcast, it definitely helps the flow. You were definitely right. You got to listen to a podcast, and you guys in the chat, if you can't make the live, like you were saying, Cameron, hop on Spotify because you can listen to it in the car, on the way to the gym, grocery shopping.
Spotify. You know we're on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, mm-hmm. Audible, Podcaster. Like literally anywhere you find a podcast, actually.
Check us out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, King, first of all, it ain't just you. I didn't know that because I deal with a,
you
I deal with a, I deal with a bunch of trolls, my man, and I didn't know that was you. Right. And not only did I not know that was you, I no longer will listen to Chamberlain played against Plumbers, Bill Russell played against Fire. I'm not listening to that from nobody else. Whenever I hear that, I'm shutting the door on dudes. That's it. I'm not talking to you no more.
But it's true.
Even if it's true. And it's even if it's true. Right. And in my assessment, it's a testament to them dudes, because like I said in the past, I'm 14 and 8 and I got a day job. So imagine what I would be like if I could just concentrate solely on basketball. Like if I didn't have to work, if I didn't sell cars in the offseason. And it's not like these guys who have second jobs in the NBA where they're doing McDonald's commercials and Sprite commercials and things like that. No, I'm actually working at the mill, right? I'm actually selling cars. I'm doing that in the offseason. And in the regular season, I'm 15 and 7. You know, I'm 10 points and 6 rebounds. And I got a day job. So I think that's a testament to them dudes. So I'm no longer entertaining any more logic about these dudes being firemen and plumbers and all of that sort of stuff, because it's corny to me. I'm not trying to hear it no more.
Yeah, for sure. So are you going to unblock King?
Yeah, King is my man. me and King, we go in my lives, when I do YouTube lives, me and King, we go at it all the time. I mean, it gets heated between me and him, but that's my man, though. Me and King, we cool. Absolutely.
Yeah, he's one of the loyal ones.
You know what's funny? I think some people from the outside looking in don't realize, at least for me, I can't speak for both of you, but I feel you feel the same way. I like when people disagree. I think we can still be cool and have a difference of opinion. It's just be respectful. But like, we don't have to agree. It's just those people think you're crazy. Why? Because you think this. All right, what do you think? Not that.
Yeah. I'm like, no, like that's casual, not good
enough.
Like,
that's not good enough right there. No. And to add to that point, Tom, my grandmother told me when I was a kid, if we both agree on everything, one of us shouldn't be here. So
That's actually that.
That's true. That's how we make each other better.
Yeah, that's the way that that's the way that goes. So
grandma gets the. What does grandma get? As a point.
Nothing.
No, there's no. I had it on. I was doing something else. I had it on low volume. Gotta be careful.
Well, that kind of brings up an interesting question. If you had to grade yourself, like 1 to 10, on, because bias is something we all deal with. I mean, some of us more than others. But I was having this conversation with one of my coworkers the other day of like how bias can actually kind of ruin you. It shows how you don't have like a teachable attitude, and not having a teachable attitude can hinder you in so many ways. But when it comes to just sports and the biases that you might have, I had definitely have them. Where would you rank yourself on that? Like, this is how biased I am. I'm unwilling to change. And what is your greatest bias? What is your greatest bias? The one thing you're like, you've never really wavered for.
You know me?
Yeah.
So I would say this. If I'm just like you and I, or us, we're having a conversation, I allow my biases more so. But if I'm having a serious, hey, let's have an honest, you know, who's the best, who's the greatest, who's whatever, I can completely eliminate my biases. However, again, in the normal day-to-day, I let my biases, and it would probably be more so in basketball than football, because in football, I know that my team's, it's kind of trash, like recent history, historically, like if we're having a greatest football team of all time conversation, listen, I'm going to remind you that football started before the Super Bowl, and we're going to have a different conversation. So excluding that conversation, I think I'm less biased in football. When it comes to basketball, I have three. Anything Celtics gets knocked down a peg no matter what. I'm a Laker fan. I'm a lifelong, forever Laker fan. So I will knock down the Celtics down one. I will forever and always bump Kobe up. Always. I am biased towards Kobe. Someone asked me, like, we were talking about greatest scorers, and I bumped Kobe up my list. And like, but he was, but you said the other guy was better than this guy because of efficiency. Why doesn't that apply to Kobe? Because it's Kobe. I understand that. Right. I tell Jay, I have Kobe 5. I'm okay with people having him lower. I have him 5 because I ain't putting Larry Bird over Kobe Bryant because he's a Celtic. So I would say that's probably my biggest, those are my biggest bias. It's kind of that combination of that Lakers, Celtics, Kobe. Right, any if it's close, the Lakers get it.
I can't stand you, even though I think he's better than you. I'm still putting this dude at you because you play for the Celtics. I don't care.
Don't matter.
Legacy where?
Absolutely. Well, okay. The first thing, Tone, that needs to be understood is when you talk about bias, a lot of people don't understand what exactly a bias means. Okay, so let's start the conversation with bias. To start the conversation, it means prejudice, to prejudge. Well, when I'm talking about guys, I come with logic, and I come with logic from experience. So the guys that I'm talking about, for example, I'm not prejudging Kobe Bryant. He's not only is he not around anymore, his career's over. So I'm not prejudging him. This is what he already did, right? This is what Olajuwon already did. This is what James has already done. So I'm not prejudging these guys. That's number one. Number two, you also have to understand what a bias is when you say it's. It also means it's an unfair advantage. Well, it'd be unfair, once again, if I was prejudging you. I'm judging you off something that you already did and what I've already seen. So throughout the course of my life, I've seen the NBA dominated by the big man. That's not a prejudice. I've already seen that. And not only have I seen the NBA dominated by the big man, I've seen the best teams in NBA history built around the big man. That's not an unfair comparison. That's not unfair logic. That's fact. Because these are the teams that I've seen that have been the best. Now, I can't exclude what the Warriors did. I can't exclude what the Bulls did. I can't exclude what the Heat have done. I can't exclude those guys. However, when I put those teams up against the Lakers from 1999 to 2000, 2000 to 2002, when I put them up against the 80s Celtics, when I get against the 80s Lakers, when I put them up against teams like the San Antonio Spurs or the Houston Rockets, this isn't prejudging these guys. This isn't a bias against the big man. I've seen the big man, and this is what I've seen the big man do, and this is what I've seen you do. So I'm not being biased toward, I'm not being biased toward the big man. These are the facts. This is what the big man has done. You haven't done this. And that's my logic.
So it's interesting because, see, I differ with your opinion there, because I agree in the sense that teams were built around the big man. Everything was fed in through the big man. Offenses ran through the big man. And that's why I actually, very little, but I do actually, I keep that in mind. So if stats are close from a, you know, let's say a player in the 70s and a player, it doesn't even matter when, a guard and a, let's just say a guard and a big man, if they're close, right, I'll give the tie to the guard, especially in those eras where, well, we were feeding the big man the ball all the time. You know how much harder it was to score when everything had to go through a center versus now? So I try to, I don't even know how to explain it as much, but, you know, like for, oh, here, I'll give a good example. I was having a Steph Curry versus Kevin Durant, I want to say 2017, I believe, conversation. Mm-hmm. And I said, who's the better? So let me ask you a question. Who's the better rebounder? And I'm going to go to my notes because you know I need my notes. Mm-hmm. Who's the better rebounder? Who was the better rebounder that year? Steph or KD?
Statistically, it was KD.
Statistically, it was KD, correct. By one rebound mm-hmm. per game. So I give that to Steph. A 6 foot point combo guard, whatever you want to call him, versus a 7 foot small forward / power forward, mm-hmm. you should be getting more than one rebound per game. Right?
You're kind of taking account the like extra work and what it takes to get that.
Exactly. When it's that's that fair. When I look at Jason Kidd versus, and this was another conversation, I don't know why we were having this one, but Jason Kidd versus Robin Lopez, I believe, or Brooke Lopez, one of the Lopez brothers.
Right.
It's 6.9 per game for Lopez, 6.2 for Jason Kidd. Hey, that's when you take the number and say, well, this mm-hmm. person had more than that person, and say, yeah, no, sorry. The point guard getting 6.2 is better than the center getting 6.9. So those are kind of examples of where I, you know, the numbers kind of I twist up a little bit.
So let me just say this, Tone, and force the bone, we're gonna get to you in a second. But let me say this, Tone. So instead of the word bias, how about we take that word out and use favor? And the reason why I'm going to say favorite is because of what I've seen. I favor the big man, not because Steph Curry isn't awesome, not because James isn't awesome, because I also favor the wing player who's a distributor as well. I'm a big fan of that dude, Magic Johnson, LeBron James, Scottie Pippen, Larry Bird. I'm a big fan of those guys, the playmakers. So I favor those guys. When you say bias, a bias is exactly what you're talking about, Tone. I'm not putting Kobe Bryant in my top 10 because he's a Laker. That's why. Mm-hmm. Not because he wasn't awesome. Not because he wasn't. No. I'm not putting Kobe Bryant in my top 10 because he played for the Lakers for 18 years. That's a bias right there. And I'm not that ridiculous to say something like that. No way.
Yeah, because Fluent, what you were saying is like, these are the facts, but bias, I think, is when it overcomes the facts.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. That's the difference, right? Yeah. That's why I say that.
Yeah.
You can make a case that Larry Bird was better than Kobe Bryant. I understand you can. I am never going to rank him over Kobe Bryant.
Of course!
I understand that that's a bias. So let me quickly touch on two things, and then we'll mm-hmm. get to the super chat. So one, to Mark Sr., did I go to Banna? He means Carabana, for those of you not in Toronto or who don't know about Carabana, which you should. A bunch of NBA players, everybody loves Carabana. It's the best. I've been a million times. No, I did not go this year.
What is Carabana, Tom?
Carabana is a celebration of Caribbean culture. So there's a huge parade, costumes, mm-hmm. parties, celebrities. It is. Think of Carnival in Rio de Janeiro.
That's what I was thinking about. Okay.
It's like that. It was shut down because of COVID for the last few years. So this was the first year. And here's the thing. I believe now it's called, I don't know, Scotiabank Carnival, and they put fences and. Okay, I'm back in the day before mm-hmm. they did all that, and it was just legit a street party where everybody was. But yeah, so it's a little more, you know, tamed down now, but it's still good. No, Mark, I did not go this year. And then to O'Neal Henry, y'all heard Mike James was saying about KD? Yes, that is on the agenda. We will get there. Mm-hmm. But first, I believe Haley probably want to take on the super chat.
Yeah. So Foster said, love the show. Can I get some quick background info from y'all. I feel like I don't know much about everyone. So for sure, Jay, you wanna start?
Sure. I started on TikTok a little over a year ago. My best friend, he's the one who got me into it, and that's how I met Tone. And Tone and I started kicking it. Next thing you know, Tone, it was very much like, yo, let's start a podcast. Oh, I don't know what a podcast is, but I bet, let's do it. And we've been here ever since. I'm originally from Jersey. I played basketball in high school. I went to St. Anthony High School in Jersey. I played junior college basketball in Vermont. I went to Champlain Junior College. I made third team All-American my freshman year. I went on from there to played 2 years at Utah State University. We won the Big West Championship regular season my junior year. And then from there, I played a year in Ireland. I played in Greece, and I played in Belgium. So that's a little bit of my sports background, and that's how I met Tone.
I feel like we must have played against each other in Greece, or we just missed each other.
Yeah.
Like, maybe. I think people don't realize, like, when you play overseas in the 90s, it's very different. It wasn't like today. There was no social media. There was there wasn't even podcasts. Yeah, we probably crossed paths for sure. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, but you just didn't communicate with players as much. Yeah. There wasn't, like, people ask me for tape. I'm like, I wish I could find some game tape. I don't even, my high school, which was pretty good high school, we traveled all over Canada and the U.S. I don't have any game tape whatsoever. The only thing I have is, I think I told you, like, that bad incident, you know, where Tony Delk at the University of Kentucky. I think that might be the only thing I have. Yeah. Oh, I think there's some footage of a dunk contest, and there's 4 seconds of me during warm-up. Like, that's all I have. So I also, like, high school, yeah, football, basketball, university. I went to West Virginia. Then I went to Greece. I was plagued with injuries, and my team sucked. So, unfortunately, other than high school, I didn't win. I didn't win anything. Unlike Jay, who had success. I was just a shooter who tried to put up numbers. Is Fluent better than... Yeah, Fluent's definitely greater than JJ. F, man, if I had everything that JJ had... Give me a break.
JJ's been getting a lot of heat. Mm-hmm. Okay, so both overseas players at some point, one point or another.
Played a little bit over there.
I love it. Lettuce said, you ever go back to Logan, OG?
I haven't been back there in years, and to be honest with you, I don't miss it. It was what it was for the time that it was, but, you know, I'm here now. And
are you like me? I feel like, for me, I had injuries,
right.
And injuries stopped me from being, like, the Army, all I could be. Right. And I got really bitter for a while. Like, I stopped. Like, we don't talk about this enough, like, guys and their depression and, you know, all that mental health stuff. So I'm going to steal something from I Am Athlete. I had a long time where I couldn't even watch college basketball. I couldn't even watch European basketball. I couldn't watch basketball at all. Mm-hmm. I watched NBA. The only reason I continued watching NBA basketball was because of, like, I never got there. So I can't say I was as good as those guys. But I would see guys in college and be like, I was better than that guy.
Right.
And it would bother me. And it messed with my mental. So I stopped. And I don't even, I don't even talk about it. Occasionally I'll drop a story here or there if it's relevant. But I don't even want to talk about it sometimes.
Yeah.
Do you get that?
To be honest with you, Tone, and since we're on the subject, absolutely. Was a stop from eighth grade, and you and I talk about, you know, why do you bring up Jabbar in high school? Why do you bring up? So in the eighth grade, I started on my eighth grade team. We won the county championship. I go to high school and I'm starting on my high school basketball team. We finished second in the country. I go to junior college and I'm the starting two guard. I'm first team all league, and we ended up a game away from the Final Four, and I made third team All American. I go to Utah State and I play for this guy, and I'm sitting on the bench for 2 years, and I got to watch these guys that I'm playing. I got to watch guys like Brian Green and just a bunch of guys that I'm thinking to myself, I would have kicked his ass if I would have gotten an opportunity to. And it was a very incomplete career for me, and it really bothered me for a long time because, you know, I was averaging like maybe 10 minutes a game. And if you play basketball, you know, you can't really do much in 10 minutes. You
can't. For me, 10 minutes, because, you know, I'm 10 minutes, I'm putting up 10 threes. So I'm going to get 9 or 12 points, but I know you can't get into the rhythm.
Right, I can't really do
I'm
nothing.
I'm shooting a three a minute.
Right. I can't really do much. That wasn't my game. Yeah. My game was a little bit different, and I couldn't really do much in 10 minutes. So to come off the bench and to play 5 minutes and to get yanked, and to play 10 minutes and then get yanked, or we played against Boise. We had a game against Boise State. I'm not going to take up a lot of time with this, guys, but we had a game against Boise State, and I played 30 seconds. We went up and down once, and I don't think I missed an assignment, but I think I missed the shot. I got taken out, and I didn't play the rest of the game. I was healthy, anything like that. I didn't play the rest of the night, and I had to deal with that kind of stuff the entire season, sitting on the bench and watching these players, and it was really difficult for me because being a sixth or seventh man, like you just said, Tone, was I a first-round pick? I don't know. Was I an all Big West performer? I don't know if I could have been that. I do know that I was I was better than the seventh man on a fourth place team in a mid-major league. I was better than that. No question about it. I was better than that. And it was hard for a while. So I went back to school to get my degree, and I essentially snuck in town, Tone. I was there 8 months, got my degree, and I was gone. It was like nobody even knew I was there. That's how quick it was. Got finished up school. I was there for 8 months and I was gone. So
see, it's funny. I had a very different path. I didn't even play organized basketball till I was a freshman in high school.
Yep.
Because I came out of the womb holding football. I was going to be an NFL wide receiver. That was it. I'm 6'3". I ran a 4.44. Like, I could dunk, and I had, I have big hands. I could catch. Mm-hmm. That was going to be my thing. And then someone said, "Hey, what are you doing during the winter in Canada? You're not playing football year round, right?"
Oh, wow.
And I said, "I don't know." So they're like, "Well, we need to come up with a regimen. So you're going to play basketball throughout the winter and spring, and then you're going to run track." Because I ran the 4x1. I did the long jump and the high jump. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, that's why when people say athletes of today are better than, and it was a different conversation. And so I said, "Okay, cool, let's do that." I go, "I've never really played basketball before, but fine, let's go ahead and do it." Well, guess what happened as the years progressed? Really good at football, 150 scholarship offers. But then someone says, "You can't make it playing basketball." And I go,
"Oh, you don't think so?"
And I go, "Really?" And I go to a summer camp, and I tell everybody the story. I go to a summer camp at the University of Kentucky, where I met Tony Delph, and he gave me the damn nickname. But I'm shooting the lights out that week, because all I'm doing is living and breathing basketball. Wake up, basketball. Lunch, basketball. Mm-hmm. Dinner, basketball. That's all I'm doing. And then I get a couple offers, and I'm like, "You know what? I'm going to show them." And I'll tell you, from that point on, I played basketball on one leg, because I was constantly hurt. In university, I tore all the ligaments in my arch, my Achilles, my ankle,
mm-hmm.
went to Greece, still playing on one leg and trying because I want to prove so bad. And that's mm-hmm. why I said, and that's when it gets sunk in. I'm like, "Forget this, man. I hate life. I'm going to go jump off a bridge." Like, mm-hmm. It got really bad. So, yeah. And so that's why I don't bring it up. So let's move on.
Yeah, no, I think.
But yeah, 10 minutes. You know, let me just say this, actually. Sorry, Kaylee. I do want to add one thing, because I always get in fights about coaching. And it's interesting, you said you missed an assignment or you missed a shot and you sat on the bench. There were games where I tell people, this is why what the NBA is doing today couldn't have happened before, is because I remember getting on the court, shooting like a logo three and it going in. But my own teammates say to me, "Oh, that's too deep." And I'm like, "Yeah." Mm-hmm. And then getting benched. I'm like, "But it went in." And like, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That's not
a bad shot. It was a bad shot,
even if it went in. And so that's why I say, like, what has happened, the progression of the NBA, trust me, it's a progression. So that's why I say I don't give Steph Curry, to go up just last thing, Curry changed the game. Yes, but no. Like, there had to be a bunch of other things that happened for mm-hmm. what he is doing to happen. Because I guarantee you, if people say, "Oh, if he was in the 80s, if he was in the 80s, he wouldn't have got a chance to do it. And that's it's hard to get people to understand that unless you've actually been there. So
start to learn.
Yeah.
Haley, what's your background? Everyone wants to know.
Yeah, well, I played sports all throughout school since I was four. I was in the pool. I was a lifeguard in high school, so swimming was a major part of my life. But martial arts is what I did for 12 years. Got my second degree black belt. And won a lot of medals here and there. But when it comes to like the depression thing, or like relating back to that, a lot of regrets that I face are like not continuing on. Like, I think I allowed wanting fun to like interact with that or like intervene. So when I was 18, I decided I wanted to travel, and I went to Australia and did like volunteer work in a lot of different countries, which I don't regret. That was probably the best time of my entire life, serving other people and just getting, you know, to take a little taste of different cultures. But I put, you know, my career or whatever in athletics aside. And so that's something that to this day, I still kind of wish, like, dang, like, I was in the best shape of my life. I was the most disciplined in my entire life. And now, you know, it's like even working out and like getting into that as an individual versus like that team atmosphere is so different. It's really hard sometimes. I definitely miss that. But yeah. And then when it comes to TikTok, same as Jay, I kind of joined like a year ago. And here we are. I kind of reached out to Fluent early on and was just like, hey, if you have any tips, please let me know.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of right. You asked for advice. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I did. So you kind of gave me some tips and checked in with me throughout and then offered me, you know, the opportunity to work with you too. And I love it. I was telling somebody, OG, you are famous. Like, you don't even realize it, but everybody knows who you are. Like, where I work, everybody knows who you are. And so thank you.
Don't you work at Nike?
I do, yeah.
How about a little sponsorship deal for Fluent and Phil? Let's make that happen.
Oh, I do. Just
can
just
you tell my real job is business related? Can you tell?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, anyways, it's a good life. We're going strong. Hopefully, we can keep moving on in the next year. But
yeah,
we got a good thing going for sure.
We're rolling, no doubt about it. We
next
definitely
stop
rolling,
ESPN. So. Let's go. Okay, shall we move on?
Yes.
All right, let's get into some football because I feel like we always put football off till the end. So let's start off with some football, get into some basketball. But I did want to, you know, touch on the Bucks. Okay, if you're a Bucks fan in the chat, I know there's been a lot going on for all of you. So their center is, I guess he got carted off on Thursday, or he got that leg injury on Thursday. So I'm not even super familiar with Jensen. I don't know much about him. So you guys can kind of go into like, Jay, how do you think that's going to impact? I know he's only out for, they say, a few months, barring any more, you know, complications. And then they have I think Josh Wells is the backup that they have. But how do you think this injury is, as well as their tackle, who was carted off today, how do you feel like the Bucks are going to be able to deal with that? And how much, I guess, does a center play into that as well?
Well, we'll start the conversation with, if an injury like this is going to happen where it's only going to be, let's say, 2 months, this is the best time for it to happen, as opposed to it being in the middle of October where we're basically trying to establish who we are. Now, the center is exactly that. He's the centerpiece of the offense. He's basically the smartest guy on the offensive line. He's the one calling out who's coming from where. He's the one who has to hike the football. He's the one who has to know what the snap count is. He's the one who none of us go until he goes. So he's basically the smartest one on the O-line. Add that to the fact that he's got to be, when I think about the center, he's got to be the most important guy in the pass block and in the run block. So for Brady not to have him right now and now have to get acclimated to a new center, it's going to be a bit of an adjustment, because once you get a center, there's a reason why Peyton Manning was so good, because him and Tom, what's his name? I'm drawing a blank. Jeff Saturday. That's what I'm thinking about. Him and Jeff Saturday had such a great chemistry where they just knew each other and they knew each other well, and they just played so well off of each other. Now for Peyton Manning to have to get a new center immediately, that would have thrown off his rhythm. That would have thrown off his cadence. And he's just so much more acclimated to Jeff Saturday. Well, same idea with Tom Brady. He's gotten acclimated to his center. This is the guy that he's had for the past couple of years. And now this thing is going the other way, and he's got to get acclimated. And it's going to cause problems with their run game. It's going to cause problems with Tom Brady and his cadences. So I'm not saying that they're going to be bad, but it's going to be an adjustment period for Tom Brady, no doubt.
Heck yeah. I like it.
No. So here's
the
thing.
Timing's everything.
So here's the thing for me. If there's one quarterback that I'm not okay. You don't want to lose offensive linemen. You don't. Especially with a quarterback, let's be honest, who's not the most mobile, right? You want to have a solid offensive line. Here's the thing, though. The center typically is the one who's calling out, you know, kind of coverages, blitz packages. He works with the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably not a better quarterback who can read the defense anyways. So will the center be missed in terms of the timing and those things that need to be in place?
Right.
Yes. However, I feel like, you know, line shifts, yes. But I feel like Tom Brady can see some of that too. So that part will be masked a little bit, the kind of the coverage and the line shifts. However, the center, like I said, the snaps, the timing, that's really important. So yeah. Can you bring in someone else to get that? Hey, that's why they have backup. So I'm actually more concerned with Tristan Wirfs because he's a right tackle who's probably one of the best in the league, mm. where it was a big reason why they, you know, helped them to that Super Bowl a couple years ago. Now, how long will he be out? That's the thing that, like, what am I more worried about? Pressure? Now, look, at least it's the right, not the left, right? At least it's not
a blind side. You do not want the blind side. No, we don't want that, Tom.
Yeah, but you don't want pressure coming at Tom Brady.
Right.
So he's got a couple of things going for him. So that's the one that worries me more between the two. But here's the thing about the Bucs. Tom Brady gets rid of the ball very fast. So that's going to cover up some of those issues. And because he has so many weapons now, if you just look at that team, granted, not all these guys are going to be at the same time, but they've got Julio Jones, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin's going to come back, Russell Gage, Kyle Rudolph, and Cameron Bray. And then Fournette backfield. Like, he's got so many options that someone's going to be in man-to-man coverage. He's going to identify it pretty quickly, and he's going to have to get rid of the ball fast. If this has always been the case for Tom Brady, if you can get pressure on him, right, you have a chance to beat him and his team. So with the center now right tackle being out, I'm concerned.
Yeah.
But I still don't know how long Tristan's going to be out for. So that's now, that one more so than the center. Very rarely are you getting pressure right up the middle on him. It's coming from the sides. So that's why I say the right tackle is a bigger concern than the center for me.
Now you also got to remember too, Tone, that we're talking about a Tom Brady who, even though he's 45 years old, even though his age, what we forget about is his style of play. Tom Brady comes from the consummate pocket passer. He doesn't come from the Deshaun Watsons and the Russell Wilsons. No, he's the guy, three-step, hit him. Five-step, sit in the pocket for 3 seconds, hit this guy. That's who Tom Brady is, sidestep, hit a guy. So now he's a little bit older, and you mentioned that the ball comes out quick. Well, I've seen his decline physically. He's still solid, Tone. There's no way that I'll say that he's not still great. I mean, he finished second last year in the league in MVP vote. So he's still great. But it's starting to catch up with him. So when I have a guy that's in front of me who doesn't block as well as the guy that I had before you, that's going to be a problem. Because that means that now I have to get the ball out even quicker, right? Now I have to read defenses even faster. And that's a detriment to me. Why? Because I'm not 25 anymore. I'm not 35 anymore. I'm a little bit older now. So things don't come to me as quick as they did 5 years ago, 8 years ago. There's a reason why Tom Brady wears that. He wears his plays on his arm, because before he could come into the huddle and this is what we're running. Now he's actually got to look at his play sheet. Well, wait a minute. What play is this? And the reason why he's got to do that is because I got some miles on me, and it's going to take an adjustment. Scary. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So for the most part, I mean, like you said, the timing is good. I mean, if it's got to happen, hopefully they can get through it and eventually get him back into playing for them.
I still, though, Haley, look at the Bucks. They're the team to beat in the NFC South.
Really?
Just simply off the strength that they got Tom NFC Brady. South,
of course, yes.
Yeah.
In the NFC South, simply off the strength that they got Tom Brady. Now, could Tom Brady get average linemen to be better? I think he could do that. Yeah. And the reason why I think he could do that is because I've seen Tom Brady time and time again do more with lesser talent. And there's no reason for me to think that. Even though he's older, there's no reason for me to think that he still can't do that. Now, when we get to this point, Haley, we're talking about a year-to-year basis. Like, we ain't looking down 3 or 4 years down the road with Tom Brady. No, we're not looking that far down the road. And the reason why we're not doing that is because he's 45 years old. We're on a year-to-year basis at this point, because this thing could be over at any point, right? So, with that all being said, I still think that they're the favorites in the NFC South.
Yeah. We got to appreciate him while we still have him here.
Yeah.
They don't have competition in the NFC South, let's be honest.
Yeah, in the South, for sure. So I do think we should just touch on the Deshaun Watson situation. I know there's been a battle about, you know, we know that he got 6-game suspension. We know that Calvin Ridley has also kind of been in this conversation as far as his suspension for a season. And I've heard arguments for both. So, Fluent, were you surprised by the 6-game suspension? And how do you feel in regards to Calvin Ridley?
All right, well, first let me start with the Calvin Ridley thing. So the Calvin Ridley thing is 100% a completely different scenario. And he was going to get a full year because you can't bet, period. No exception. Just everything else is off the table. You cannot bet on your own sport, regardless, win or lose.
If he does that again, he's out the league permanently.
Yeah,
he's gone permanently. He's done.
It takes away from the integrity of the game, and they will not allow that. So that's a completely different thing. However, I did make a comparison in this sense when I said, well, if gambling, which ruins the integrity of the game, costs you a year, how does a personal conduct policy that you have not ruin the integrity of life? You can't have 60 women speak out against you. Okay. Let me go back, because you asked a question. Did it surprise me? No. Because if you go back to Gridiron, I've been saying for months ago, he's going to get 6 games. I think he should get the entire season, but he's going to get 6 games. So we were right about that. So now to the question, how I feel about Mr. And I know I try to make a joke about it because I get really angry, and that's why I try to make jokes about it, because I don't want to let my anger come through. Yeah. But you hide behind this, oh, well, we got an independent judge to do the ruling, so it's fair. No, you didn't. That's just a bold-faced lie, because what people don't talk about is, one, that judge can only go make a decision based on NFL precedent. And what does NFL precedent say? Well, sexual assault or sexual misconduct or player misconduct pretty much is a 6-game suspension. She even said in her thing, if you read her notes, that this guy was clearly guilty of all these things, but my hands are tied. All I can do is give him 6 games. So that's part one. So don't give me an independent judge. That's nonsense. Two, because it was an independent judge, do you know who then by the de facto prosecution was? If this was a court case, who was prosecuting him?
The NFL.
The NFL. Well, it's in the NFL's best interest
for him to be on the field.
Not to have him get suspended for a long time.
Yeah.
So they had 24 cases. Forget, there were 60 women, but there's 24 cases. They called four. They called on four. They could have had a parade of one after the other, and they had four instead of 24. So the judge looked at it and says, okay, well, based on those four, based on the precedent that I have, okay, it's 6 games. And based on what they presented, six games actually is the precedent, is legit.
Right.
But this is a much bigger case than that. There is so much going on here. Like, I get people say, well, he wasn't charged with anything. He doesn't have to be. That's the part that you miss. The criminal case means nothing. That's for the outside world. For the inside, for the NFL, it's called player misconduct. And when you have 60 people telling you, and here's the thing, they couldn't present more. Because if they presented more, the NFL, the prosecution, well, then they put the Houston Texans, who were covering this up for so many years, on trial too.
Which, but before you go any further, Tone, say that last part that you just said again, that the Houston Texans was what?
Oh, they were covering it up for years.
Make sure we 100% clear on that. Do not at any point try to sell me the logic that they were in the dark about this. Because no, they weren't.
They were setting up some of these appointments.
They were not. Yeah. No, they weren't.
So now they're going to put the Texans on trial? No. So they called up on the four women who had the cases. And, you know, it's funny because people say, well, he didn't get convicted of anything. No, he settled 22 cases. If you're fully innocent, you don't just pay off 22 people. So there's so much extra going on. And, you know, someone asked me on TikTok and I blasted them. And then they were like, oh, I was just asking. No, you don't just ask, well, what's the business of the NFL. Who cares about, you know, about women? Well, one, just as a human being, you should care about women, unless you have like severe.
Are you a misogynistic jerk off? Call it what it is, Tom.
So
just say what it is, Tone. It's all right.
So unless you have some severe issues, you want to take care of your women, because guess what? All of us have a mother.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us have sisters, mm-hmm. Wives, daughters.
Yep.
So you want to take care of women. Do you know the NFL, what percentage of NFL employees are women?
More than half.
It's not. It's 39%.
So almost.
So call it 40% of their employees. Do you not want to take care of women when 40% of your workforce is women?
Mm-hmm.
And then someone said, well, what about the business? I said, okay, women make up 50% of the buying population. Do you know what percentage of buys they influence? 75%. So yeah, there's some money. Do you know what the biggest mm-hmm. growth potential is for the NFL? Sissy just wants to talk about business and money. Do you know where the biggest growth potential is? Female consumers, because most men already watch football. It's mm-hmm. that's your biggest opportunity to grow. They're part of the reason that they hit the $1 billion, whatever amount of $1 billion they did hit. So to try and say, well, let's not treat our women with respect because we're just jerks. And well, who cares because they don't pay money to watch the game. That just blew my mind that someone would actually say that. And so,
well,
you know,
first of all,
and let me be clear. I said the exact same thing about Robert Kraft. I said the exact same thing about Ben Roethlisberger. I said the exact same thing about Joe Mixon. I said the exact same thing about Ray Rice.
Yep.
My tune hasn't changed.
Yep.
Okay, my tune has never changed. And people want to come at me for that? Come at me for that. I will stand by my women forever.
If I'm not mistaken, Tone, to add to your point, you know how many – I think the percentage is 60% of NFL fans who they look like Haley. They're females. Almost 60% of NFL fans are female. That's first of all. I think the problem that we have here more than anything, because I know that you guys have a big problem with the suspension, it's going to get worse. And you know why it's going to get worse, Tone? It's going to get worse because Deshaun Watson is going to remind us of who he was. And what I mean, who he was on the football field. And this thing's going to go away. We're going to completely forget about this because he's going to remind us how good he is. And he's going to end up doing something really great with the Cleveland Browns. And we're going to forget all about this. And this thing's going to go away. When in reality, this thing shouldn't go away. And it's going to be great for.
Sorry, I have to call time out. Just say R. Smith. I'm sorry. I hate to do this. Daniel Snyder shouldn't be an owner. I just saw that name. Right. Daniel, 100%. Daniel Snyder's ridiculous. Sorry, Jay. That name drives me nuts.
Like, Daniel Snyder is wild. He's not wild. Daniel Snyder is super. It's a difference between being wild, Tony, and being super wild.
Yeah.
So Daniel Snyder is super wild. But with that being said, Deshaun Foster, Deshaun Watson, what he's going to do is he's going to remind everybody of how good he is. He's going to remind everybody that he was before this whole thing jumped off, he was a top three quarterback in the NFL. He wasn't a good quarterback. He was one of the best quarterbacks in the game. And if he takes Cleveland to the playoffs, if he takes Cleveland to the AFC Championship in the next year, the next 2 years, this thing is going to go away. And it's not going to matter the fact that he did all of the things that he did. Now, am I okay with what he did? No, absolutely not. I'm not okay with what he did. Now, you can make the argument, Tone. Well, nobody was convicted. I'm trying to figure out why there weren't any criminal charges against him, which I'm still in the dark about that too, Tone. I mean, we got 24 women, and you can't give me one indictment. You can't give me one indictment. I can't get one person to go, yo, he did this. And
well, you do, but it's a woman saying he did it and him saying he didn't.
He said,
and there's no video, there's no recordings,
right?
There's no hard evidence. But you know, 60.
So if that's true, Deshaun Watson, he could really throw a monkey wrench in this thing, which he's not. Him and the union have already made it clear that they're going to accept the 6-game suspension. He could really throw a monkey wrench in this thing and go, yo, I'm not accepting this 6-game suspension. And the union could go to bat for him, and that 6 games could get chopped to like 3 or 4 games.
Well, the NFL's appealing it, that it should be longer.
The NFL is.
Oh,
we're not. Yeah, it's not because they heard the public outcry. They heard so many.
What did
people
they think though? Like, is that just a sign for which
drives me crazy with the NFL. And the reason why this drives me crazy with the NFL, Tone, is because they're so concerned about image, right? They're so concerned about image, but they're protect the shield. But they're also the same ones who cover up certain things. So, for example, Tom, we was never supposed to see that video of Ray Rice. Ray Rice was supposed to get 6 games. This thing was supposed to go away, and he was going to be back on the field. Once we saw that video, and by the way, Roger Goodell, he saw it before we saw it. He knew about that. Not only did he know about that.
You weren't supposed to hear anything about John Gruden either. I know it's a different...
No, we weren't supposed to hear any of that. We weren't supposed to see any of that from Ray Rice. But the fact that we saw it now, all of a sudden, Ray Rice, who was as popular as he was, not only was he as popular as he was, as good of a player as he was, and this Baltimore Ravens team had just won the bowl game, right? So this dude is in soup commercials, and he's on television, and he's almost like a media darling. This is the same dude who's cracking his chick's nose in an elevator. So we're not supposed to see that because that's terrible for the shield. But then we turn around and we'll give Ezekiel Elliott 6 games for doing what he did. So, I mean, I consider it to be double talk. I consider it to be a contradiction. But the NFL knows one thing, and they know one thing for a fact. You ain't going to stop watching, so... This is a gladiator sport. So, even though we got guys that are basically running people off the road and killing them, you're still gonna watch. So,
yeah, the whole situation. I heard the argument that because gambling like is directly related to the league and the sport, therefore that was a bit more versus like Deshaun's is off the field. So. Whatever it is, like, especially as a woman in sports, it's something that it needs to change. It's something that has to change. And also, women are need to be held just as accountable for that type of situation as well.
Well, let me ask, sorry to cut you off, Haley. And I really apologize, but I have a bad memory. And if I don't say it, I'll forget. In your regular job, where you don't know how to throw a football, if 60 women complained about you, would you have a job tomorrow?
Probably not.
Would you have a job tomorrow?
Mm-mm. Probably not.
I doubt it. It's not the same. I get it. It's not the same. But
now you got to remember too, Tone. When you talk about the gambling allegations, these aren't allegations.
No, it wasn't an allegation.
This wasn't an allegation. Now, when we're talking about Deshaun Watson. These are all allegations. And the reason why they're allegations is because he wasn't convicted in a court of law. Now, like you just said, when we're talking about the NFL code of conduct policy, there is a way that you have to conduct yourself as a professional when you are not on the field. Because, again, you don't just represent Deshaun Watson. You represent the NFL. And if you're out here doing stuff like smacking up chicks or getting in car accidents and killing people, that's not good for the logo. In fact, it's terrible. So even if you don't get convicted in a court of law, it's terrible for the shield, and we can't have that.
Yeah. And if you were just in the regular world, you would be facing the consequences everybody else would be facing, but because you're protected by the league or what this money, then you get off. And so, I don't know, it needs to change, but I'm just curious to see if the Deshaun Watson thing will maybe set a kind of a precedent, but I agree with you, Jay. I think we'll probably all just forget, and he'll live his life, and hopefully he learns. He may not. So,
Haley, I do not. Haley, I'm not trying to hear this. This coming up again. I'm not. I'm letting you know that right now. This is something that comes up again. Me and this dude gonna have a problem. We're gonna have a big problem. I promise you that.
Yeah, I don't know. And like the whole Miles Bridges thing, like I mean, I know that was personal, and like there's proof there, and it's a bit different, but still, like, the NBA does seem to do a better job versus the NFL.
Tone kind of kind of, he didn't poo-poo it, but Tone, I'm out on Miles Bridges. I want you to know that right now. I'm out. And I don't, I give the benefit of the doubt in a lot of situations because I'm a very flawed human being. But when you out here smacking up chicks and you abusing kids, I'm out. I'm out on Miles Bridges, yo. I'm out.
No, I'm not. Yeah. Yeah, not okay. But we can move on. JD, so question for you. Okay. We'll touch on this real quick before we get into the KD situation. I know everybody wants to talk about that. But skills in basketball. I'm wondering, what is and what is not a skill? Because we all, you know, in all these conversations and our debates, we talk about, oh, this skill versus this skill. This is what a skill is. Skill sets are this. So will you go into detail a bit about what you think skills are in basketball and what is not?
Everything is skills in basketball. Not some things or most things. Everything is skills. Running is a skill. You have to be taught how to run, okay? Skills are not just on the offensive side of the basketball. Skills are on the defensive side of the basketball. So when I learn how to dribble, when I learn how to shoot, when I learn how to pass, okay, those are skills. But on the defensive side of the basketball, I have to learn how to get into a defensive stance. I have to learn how to play defense without fouling. I have to learn how to block out. I have to learn footwork. I have to learn how to block shots and rim protect without goaltending. I have to learn all of these things. Add that to the fact that when I learn these things, I'm developing these skills. And in the process of developing these skills, I'm developing my IQ and I'm getting smarter, which is also a skill. So the logic that I don't, defense isn't a skill, rebounding isn't a skill, shot blocking isn't a skill. If you're going to say that, you're telling me that everybody can do it. Now, don't get me wrong. Defense at the end of the day, I can teach you footwork, right? I can teach you how to get your hands busy. I can teach you how to get your feet moving. I can teach you how to get in the defensive stance. But at the end of the day, drop your ass, get your feet moving, get your hands busy. That's effort. I can teach you how to block out. I can teach you how to slip a block out. I can teach you how to hold a block out. I can teach you footwork. I can teach you all of those things. At the end of the day, stick your nose in and go get the basketball. It is effort. But it's also skill, too. As you're not just standing underneath the basket and just throwing shots away as a rim protector. You're not doing that. You have to know how to block shots. You have to time those things. And the way you time those things is understanding other players and understanding offense. And that's how you enhance your IQ. Once again, which is also a skill. So when I hear people tell me that defense, rebounding, shot blocking, those things aren't skills, I'm out. I can't talk to you. I'm out.
Do you feel like skills are often overlooked by like a vast majority of people you talk to about, you know, ball, or do you come into contact with that a lot?
I think there are certain skills that are overrated. So when I have to listen to people tell me that Kyrie Irving is the most skilled basketball player in the NBA, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, I can't remember seeing Kyrie Irving lock down on defense or call out a defensive play or do anything like that. But because he's super nice with the peel and he can finish at the rim or he can shoot a fall away three, he's the most skilled player in basketball. Now, you can make the argument that he's the most skilled offensive player, even though he doesn't pass it like that. You can make that argument. But to say he's the most skilled player when he doesn't do any of these things on the defensive side of the basketball is a gross overrate for Kyrie Irving. And I don't hear that a lot from guys. What I do hear a lot from guys is I hear them overrating certain skills. And there are a lot more skills in basketball that people don't talk about that they need to talk about. Like, for example, to hear the logic that defense isn't a skill. So I guess Dennis Rodman wasn't skilled. He was just out there running around. I guess Bill Russell wasn't skilled. He was just out. Draymond isn't skilled. Ben Wallace wasn't skilled. Rudy Gobert, Lonzo Mourning, Michael Jordan, any of these guys who were elite on the defensive side of the basketball, they were just showing up. That's all they were doing. They were just putting in the effort. If they didn't have a clue what they were doing, but they were just showing up and doing it. So, well, I also get the logic, Tone, and I'm sorry that I'm ranting because this makes me nuts. But I also get the logic. Well, I can't really say that those things require that much skill. I don't care how much skill they require. They still require skill.
Certain things clearly require more skill than others. However, the definition of skill is something that you can work on and get better at. So can you work on positioning? Yes. Can you work on hand placement? Footwork. Yes, yes. Boxing out. Yes. So all of these are defensive skills. Now, is hand positioning as a tougher skill to learn as shooting? No, but it's still a skill. I actually disagree with you where you say Kyrie might be the most offensively skilled. No, Kyrie might be the most skilled ball handler.
That's it. That's as far as I'm going to go. Okay.
Okay.
That's
Kevin fair. Durant might be the most skilled shooter. But what do we hold near and dear, most NBA fans, nowadays? Well, it's shooting and ball handling, mm-hmm. right? If you can make someone look silly and then knock down a logo three, oh, you're the greatest player of all time. No, you're not. You're not. No one wants to hear that. No one wants to hear when I say, when you look back at Kevin Durant, not me, because I'll be dead, but when you look back at Kevin Durant in 30 years, you're going to say, here's a guy that wasn't a great passer, wasn't a great ball handler, forget for a seven-footer, just in general. Wasn't a great ball handler, wasn't a great passer, wasn't great with his footwork, wasn't a great athlete, wasn't a great defensive player, wasn't a great rebounder, wasn't great at getting steal. So what was he? We're going to look back and say...
I don't know, Tony. Kevin Durant was a great athlete. I don't know about him not being
Kevin Durant's a great athlete.
Have you seen
he's an incredible crazy. Athlete, Tony. I think you're nuts with that one. Absolutely.
Okay, let me ask you
he's
this.
A great athlete.
Dominique Wilkins or Kevin Durant, who's a better athlete?
Neek. That doesn't mean that Kevin Durant wasn't a great athlete, though. We're talking about Dominique Wilkins.
When I say athlete, is he running up and down the court and jumping over people? That's what yes. I mean by athlete.
Yes, KD does that on the regular. What are you talking about, Tone? He's running down the gut and throwing it on guys. He's doing that on the regular. And he's not doing that today.
That's not a skill.
Oh, it's absolutely.
All right, moving on.
So
all of those things. We're talking about skill. Let's stay focused here, man. We're going to get to the Kevin Durant in a minute. Mm-hmm. Or not in a minute, but we will talk more about Kevin Durant. But that's my thing. So when we say skills, it's anything you can work on and get better. But just people value... literally two skills, maybe passing more than others. And so that's where it's just like, you know, when I heard that KD and Kyrie were the most skilled duo in the history of basketball,
I'm good.
My head exploded and I'm like, Jay, no. Will, like, you know better than that. You know better than that. You've played. You know how tough it is. And let me just, for Vamp, because people always say this, name another seven-footer that moves like KD. No, see, when you have to preface it by saying a seven-footer, I'm going to knock my mic out of here, that takes away from your argument. Yes, is he, if you're going to say he's one of the most athletic, skilled seven-footers, 100%, I'm going to agree with you. But I'm not comparing him when I'm comparing all-time greats. I'm comparing everyone, whether they're 5'3 or 8'3, it doesn't matter. So yes, for a seven-footer, he's great. That don't mean shit to me when I'm talking about everybody to ever play the game. That's what I'm talking about. So again, same thing with skill. When someone says, well, he's really good for no. If you have to preface it with a for you know, for a big man, for a little guy, like he jumps really high for a 5-foot guy, cool. That's great. I don't care, right? Like it has to be just in general.
I think KD is a great athlete.
That's not necessarily a skill he can develop. His athleticism.
Well, you can't teach any. You can't teach. I can't teach 7 foot.
Let me ask you a question. When someone asks you, give me your top 10 athletes to ever play in the NBA. Is he in your top 10 list?
I don't think KD is. I don't know if he's in my top 10. I don't know if he's in my top 10 list.
The point is, you're not going to go back and sit, look back.
Right. But
in 30 years, you're not going to say he was an all-time great athlete. You're not. You're not putting
him in. I think he was a better athlete than Bird.
Sure.
Bird was a better player, though. Bird was a better player, though. Bird was a better player, but he was a better athlete than Bird, no doubt.
Anyone ever going to say?
I think he was a better athlete than Carmelo Anthony.
I agree.
Don't let his long legs fool you, because he can get
absolutely. It. He absolutely does.
I agree with you, but no one's ever saying Carmelo Anthony is a great athlete. No one's saying Bird's a great athlete. But when you're going to say,
they absolutely are saying that he's a great athlete. He's the most decorated Olympic athlete in NBA history. You can't be a bigger athlete than being an Olympian. Carmelo Anthony is the most decorated Olympian in U.S. basketball history.
No. I mean athlete, like athletic, like running, jumping.
Right.
You're not.
Here's what you can't do. Now, here's what you can't do, Tom.
Maybe I can't teach the wrong word.
I can't teach 7 feet, and I can't teach you to run fast, and I can't teach you to jump high. What I can teach you is I can teach you to run faster and jump higher. Those things, you already have those. And KD, for the most part, had those coming into the league. He ran fast and jumped high, and he was 7 feet tall. I didn't have to teach that. Now, we can enhance that, which made him a better athlete moving forward. I would never say that KD wasn't a great athlete. He's an absolute incredible athlete, no doubt about it.
But you mean athletic. Like
what I'm saying, athletically, you're not going to look back in 30 years and say Kevin Durant was one of the greatest athletes to play basketball. He's not going to be in the conversation with Jordan and James and Dominique and Vince Carter. Yes, athletic.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying is athletic.
But you're not going to say he's athlete versus athletic.
So,
it comes across different.
Oh, fine. He's we're really nitpicking here, guys. Okay, yes. No one's going
to
look back and say he's one of the most athletic players ever. There we go. Let me add the athletic at the end. Thank you. That's why you're here, Haley, to keep us. Okay. But my point is, back to the skill thing, all those things are skill. And you might weigh them differently. But if someone is a 10 shooter and a 7 ball handler and a 1 defender, I'm going to take the guy who's an 8 shooter and an 8 passer and a 6 defender over that person, because that player is an overall better player. And I think we fall in love with certain things. Like, you know, like there are people, right? There are people. Curry's the greatest shooter of all time. I agree.
Yeah.
He's the best player of all time. No.
No.
You can't just say one, just can't be the one thing. So that's, you know, that'd be like me saying, well, Dennis Rodman, because I believe Dennis Rodman's the greatest defender of all time. I know that's controversial, some argue, but that's like me saying, well, Dennis Rodman is the greatest defensive player of all time, therefore he's the greatest player of all time. No, that sounds ridiculous. Even as I say it, like, out loud, it sounds ridiculous. But that's the conclusion you're saying is because you did one thing. Or maybe I'll say this. He's the greatest rebounder of all time. Would we agree?
Right.
No, I don't know. Well, anyway, he's the greatest rebounder of all time. Oh, well, he's the greatest player of all time. No, you can't just be one thing. You got to be – that's why James is so good. James is not the greatest at anything. He's just
really good at everything. He's just really good at everything. And a lot of guys – and there's not many guys who can say that. Add that to the fact that if you got a guy who's an 8 – ball handler and a 7 shooter, but a 1 defender. If you're a coach and you're taking that guy, you're shortchanging. Number one, you're shortchanging the game, and you're lessening you as a coach, because what you value doesn't win. That's not gonna. If I'm just taking a dude who's offensively superior, I'm just gonna have a bunch of James Hardens on my team. I can tell you right now, we're not winning. We're not winning with that. We're not.
Because what you always say, Fluent, defense wins championships.
Situational. I'm changing it. Situational defense wins championships.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Lettuce has a super chat. He said, is Marcus Smart the worst defensive player of the year in NBA history? Obviously, they all are great, but a lot of D-boys are top 75 all time. Marcus Smart, not so much.
Is Mutombo a top 75 player all time? Because I'm 100%. I don't think Mutombo is a top. Mutombo is not a top 75 player all time. Alvin Robinson is not a top 75 player all time. So
Sidney Moncrief.
Sidney Moncrief is absolutely a top 75 player.
Did he make it?
He did. Sidney Moncrief did make the top 75 all time. So for the record, the defensive player of the year wasn't implemented until the 82-83 season. Okay, so that was 40 years ago. So in the last 40 years. Is Marcus Smart the worst defensive player in NBA history? I mean, was he worse than Marc Gasol, who didn't make first team All-NBA, All-Defense? Was he worse than that guy when you're talking about a defensive player of the year? I don't think he was worse than him. I mean, and I could also make the argument that, you know, Mutombo won defensive player of the year in 95. He didn't make first team All-Defense. Mookie Blaylock did. So you could say that he wasn't even the best defensive player on his team, just like Mark Gasol wasn't. So when I think about the worst defensive player of the year, I'm not going to say that about Marcus Smart. And the reason why I'm not going to say that about Marcus Smart is not because he won it, but because Marcus Smart didn't come out of nowhere. Marcus Smart has been on the All-League defensive team numerous times. So this was something that we could see coming. This is not ridiculous that he ended up winning defensive player of the year. He had been a first-team All-League defender numerous times in the past. He was one of the best defensive guards in the game for a while. So the fact that he won it, this is very similar to what Giannis did, where Giannis won the league MVP a couple of years, won the defensive player of the year, then won the NBA championship, and now he's the best player in the game. Well, we saw this coming because we saw what Giannis was doing. Same logic with Marcus Smart. We saw what he was doing defensively. So this isn't a surprise that he's become the defensive player of the year.
So first off, let me just say, one, Smart can't be the worst defensive player of the year because I picked him to win it.
You did. Yes, you did, though. Yeah, you did.
Yes, you so did. It couldn't have been that bad. But, you know, it depends. Like, man, it's so tough to say, like, you know, is he deserving of it? Yeah, of course he's deserving of it. A bunch of guys, you know, voted. If you're going by defensive rating, just the pure number, I want to say Michael Cooper, I think, had the worst offensive rating of any player to win a Defensive Player of the Year award. But that being said, even that's not a pure science, because the people on your team, the style of play, all those things affect your defensive rating. So Michael Cooper, for example, played in Showtime. So it was an up and down, fast paced, high scoring offense. Right. So even though he was a great defender, they're going to score a lot of points. Both teams are going to score a lot of points regardless. So you can't look at it from a numbers perspective. Like, when you think of Marcus Smart, what do you think of? You think of defense.
A defender.
Right? It's not like you think of a shooter and, oh my God, how do you win D-point? Like, no, you're not surprised. Now, are you going to say, who do I want on my team, Marcus Smart or Drew Holiday? I don't know. You might have that debate. But I think, you know, the way that the Defensive Player of the Year is picked is, do your defensive numbers, right? Do they stand out? And are you the best or one of the best defenders on the best defensive team? He was, and he is. So mm-hmm. He had the numbers and the eye test. When you watch him play, you think defense. So he ticked all the boxes. You know, you could find, again, you know, I maybe Mark Eaton. I don't think Mark Eaton just blocked a bunch of shots because he was like the size of a building. He's not going to guard out on the perimeter.
Right. Not today, he wouldn't. But he was an elite rim protector back then.
But that's what they, all he did was block shots. He wasn't doing anything else. So you could find guys who were like, well, maybe, you know.
And I mean, he did rebound. He did rebound too, Tony, and that's part of defense.
No, I know, but I'm saying, you don't think of him, when you think of him, again, I'm thinking of defense. I'm thinking perimeter defense. That's not that guy. So it's hard because when you look at the guards that have won,
mm-hmm.
Marcus Smart,
Gary Payton,
Sidney Moncrief, Michael Jordan. The list is pretty short.
Right.
So that's why it's so hard to compare them when you think of D-Boy.
When I'm sorry, Tom. When I'm thinking about, you know, Mark Eaton, I'm not thinking about Mark Eaton in the same category with Olajuwon. No, I don't see him like that.
Right. I run you down some of the defensive players, Olajuwon, Leonard, Eaton, then you got Mutombo, Antetokounmpo, Marcus Camby, Marc Gasol, Tyson Chandler, like Draymond Green, like, right. You know, just because they won doesn't put them in the same breath.
No.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the hard part, is because when you look at Marcus Smart, well, he's in with the guards. So is he as good as Sidney Moncrief, Gary Payton, or Michael Jordan?
No. Yeah.
Defensively, but you also think of it, it's hard to look at, because player-wise, no, he's not even in the same planet as those guys as a complete player.
No, he wasn't.
Defensively, he's closer, but he's not as good as those guys. But that's not how you compare it. And just quickly on the Marc Gasol thing, Marc Gasol had all the numbers to win Defensive Player of the Year that year. The fact that he wasn't first team was because different people were voting on the Defensive Player of the Year versus the first, second team, which is why they changed it, because you had things like that. And he's not the first to win DPOY and not be on the first team. So I don't think he's the worst. I really like Marcus Smart. Like I said, maybe I'm being a little bit showing some favoritism. And think about it, he's a Celtic. So for me to say good things about him, you know what that means.
That's interesting, right? He is a Celtic. Don't leave that part out.
But I was going to say, maybe I'm a little giving him a little favoritism because I picked him. So, you know, there you go. I like being right more than I hate the Celtics.
Would they, Chad asked Defensive Player of the Year early predictions next season. Jay, anybody?
I think Giannis is the best defender in the game. I think Drew Holiday is the best perimeter defender in the game. I think Giannis is the best defender overall in the game. I had him picked to win the Defensive Player of the Year this year. But I think that they're going to be better next year with Middleton back. And Giannis is at the top of my list. He's the best player in the game. So, and he's the best defensive player in the game, in my opinion. So,
okay, Fluent, any thoughts?
I know he's probably is it crazy to think that Rudy Gobert can win it again?
Yes.
Why is it nuts to think that? Why is it nuts to think that? Number one, he's going to be on a better team.
That's what I'm saying. He's going to be a better team. He's going to also have Kat next to him. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be allowed to just roam.
Yep. Yeah. They're going to be better defensively.
And I know he's won it, what? He's won it 3 out of the last 5 years?
Yep.
Yeah, he did. But I'm with you.
Can I give my dark horse?
Yeah, go.
Kawhi Leonard.
Now, I'll tell you this, Tone. If Rudy Gobert were to win Defensive Player of the Year this year, we got to start having a different conversation about him as a defender.
Oh, yeah.
We have to.
He wins
four times in six years?
Yeah.
We have to start having a different conversation about. We got to start talking about him like we talk about Olajuwon. We got to start talking about, and I know you don't want to hear this.
Ben Wallace.
We got to start talking about him like we talk about Ben Wallace, like Dwight Howard. If he were to win it, again,
you win four in 6 years.
We gotta start to.
You're gonna make the Hall of Fame based on your defense.
Well, Mutombo said that. Mutombo said, "I am in the Hall of Fame for defense and rebounding. That's the only reason why I'm in the Hall of Fame." He said that. So
yeah. Now the only thing is, can he get the Wolves? Because he has to be one of the top rated defensive teams. So can he do that? That's why I think Kawhi Leonard, because I think he plays 65 games a season minimum, so he's going to hit the number that he needs to. He also has Paul George, who's a underrated defender. So I think that's my dark horse. I think he has some. If he comes in with the right attitude and something to prove,
I'm going on record, Tone. If Leonard plays 65 games, he's a top three MVP candidate. Yep. Not only is he's a top three MVP candidate, he's a first team All NBA performer, and I think the Clippers in the NBA Finals.
Okay.
Wow.
I like it. I need to start writing our predictions down just so we have them.
Well,
that is
what you're supposed to be doing.
I'm a big fan of Leonard, though. I'm not on the fence about. When they come down to South Beach, I am in the building. Yeah. When he comes down to South Beach, I'm absolutely in the building. No question about it. I'm a big Kawhi Leonard fan. No doubt.
Bailey.
Now, who do I think? What'd you say?
Notes.
Oh, I got you. I have these written down. I want to say Rudy is not one of my favorite players ever. But if he can...
Why? What's your problem with Rudy, Haley? What is your issue with Rudy, Haley?
I've made a lot of videos, and I think he's good. And I just think the system that Utah was in at that point, like, everything worked around Rudy. So he had to do all that he had to do. But I guess more so of it comes from his attitude. And I know that doesn't go into his game at all.
It's the COVID thing when he touched everything?
Oh, no. I don't think he meant to do that. Or if he did, whatever. It's just like it's the same way I didn't love, like, Luka for a while. I love his game. I think his game is great, but the fact that he's just constantly crying, does he uplift his teammates when he should be leading them, things like that. I think, to me, that plays into who a player is. I know that some people say whatever, but if he can go into this new system for the Wolves and change things, my respect will go up to here. And if he wins another one, absolutely add him to the conversation. Just for me right now, I'm not ready. But
the TikTok fan base will call you a hater.
Oh, by all means, yes, please, casual hater, bring it. I am fine with that. I love it. Yeah. But we have to, real quick, before we end, I want to touch on the KD whole thing. And I believe, because this is from Mike James, and I didn't even get to watch that episode with our guys from Player's Choice, because that's where this originated from, right? They got this whole thing going.
They got the exclusive. Mm,
yeah, they did. They did indeed. So, tell me a little bit about, If this is true, and I take Mike James' word for it. I mean, they were close. I'm sure it was just a casual conversation. And from his perspective, I think he was trying to stand up for KD and kind of give a very fair point. It was never meant to be anything crazy. But now that the media has gotten a hold of it, they've changed the narrative into, oh, well, you know, KD should have never said this, blah, blah, blah. So what's your take on it? And if he did say this in the way that the media is saying, how do you feel about that?
I feel like, look, he didn't say it, you know, maliciously to say something negative about KD. he just was telling a story and kind of saying, hey, this is my relationship with KD. Is, you know, I got to Brooklyn. He was actually one of the ones who said, hey, let's give this guy a shot. And he was actually praising KD for, you know, not having met him. And then after he got on the team, you know, they got to know each other. They hung out a little bit and they became friends. And so, you know, they play whatever, I don't know what the hell they would play, Fortnite, whatever the heck the guys that age play, I don't know. And so and that's all he was saying was the story was, yeah. And so I told him, hey, if whoever gets knocked out of the playoffs first, the other, you know, should come hang out. So if I get knocked out of, I think he was in EuroLeague in the playoffs.
He was in Greece.
I'll come to Brooklyn and hang out and watch your games. And if you get knocked out of the playoffs first, you come to Greece and watch me. And he's like, I'm not going to watch you play as a joke. And then, you know, once he saw the matchup, apparently, he's like, oh, you know what? Yeah, I'll come check you in Greece when this series is done because we're going to lose. That was I don't think he meant it to be malicious. I think it's a true story. I don't think that he's lying. I don't think he was lying. I think KD is a smart enough person to know, yo, we're outmatched against Boston. We're going to lose this series. I know people don't like to hear that, you know, that him to come out and say, oh, we're going to lose to these guys. That's not, you know, hey, we've got a chance. Everybody has a chance. How many people said the Nets had a chance? Most people said they didn't have a chance.
Can we agree on one thing, Tom? Before, was the Brooklyn Nets...
Yes, KD is not a superstar. Can
we agree that the Brooklyn Nets season, let's just, before we even get to the playoffs, that season was a disaster.
Oh,
100%. With what was going on with Kyrie Irving in and out of the lineup, James Harden now wanting out, KD getting hurt and missing 2 months, who KD said that his injury derailed their season, even though it was a point where they were rolling. So with that all being said, can we agree that their regular season was a disaster? Now, 100%. when we get to the playoffs, right? We get to the playoffs. And we basically limp into the playoffs because we had to play in the play-in tournament. And we limp into the playoffs. And who's in front of us? Basically the best defensive team in arguably in the NBA, but in the Eastern Conference, right in front of the Miami Heat. Add that to the fact that they got these young dogs in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And these guys have meshed like no other team in the league has meshed up until this point. We are really. Kyrie Irving has been in and out of the lineup. I'm just getting back acclimated to what's going on, right? We just got Andre Drummond. So I'm looking at our crew. So on the inside, KD is thinking, how are we going to beat these dudes with what they're doing? It's just that it came out. And it came out, and I don't think that it was something that was supposed to get out, that we were supposed to hear. I think that that was something that he said to his man in confidence. I don't think we were supposed to hear that. But inside, he's looking at the Boston Celtics, considering everything that's going on with these dudes, thinking to himself, man, how the hell are we going to beat these dudes?
And that's fair.
The thing. The media picks it up. Right? ESPN, FS1, like everybody picked it up. What is it? I forget the name of the other show. All these shows picked it up. And now it's going to be a thing. Now Kevin Durant's going to come out and say, I never said that. He's crazy. He's lying. He's just trying to get clout. And he has to. That friendship's done.
Oh, it's over.
The media did. Because guess what? If they didn't
pick it up. Oh, it's over.
If ESPN didn't pick it up, it's a non-issue. And there's no disrespect to PC. But it's just like, it's cool. He said it on some podcast. Whatever. It's all good. The fact that ESPN and everybody, and now they're, you know, everyone's going crazy. And it's a big deal, right? And listen. There's no basketball. There's no basketball for like 2 months. Well, hey, let's steal some headlines because the NFL's about to have a game on Thursday. This gives them a week of topics to talk about. Now it's all going to be about KD. And is KD really that guy? How could he say his team's going to lose? And let's dive into KD. Right? It's
Haley, a much bigger deal. There's a difference between us talking and us talking. And that's not something that was supposed to get out. No, that wasn't something that people were supposed to hear. KD said that to him in his living room. KD said that to him across the dinner table. And KD said that to him in front of him and nobody else, because that's a trust issue. This is my man right here. So he's going to keep that with him in confidence. Not only is he going to keep that with him in confidence, his man now, knowing that this has gotten out, is like, damn, I don't know if I should have said that. Because it's bad enough that it's gotten out, but I think I might have ruined my friendship because this dude can't trust me now. He can't tell me nothing, because anything that he tells me, he's thinking that it's going to get out because it's not going to stay here with us. Because you told him that. And the last thing that he wants is for people to get fueled off, oh, they already think I'm soft anyway. They think I'm this. They think I'm that. And to hear that, even though he really did feel that way, even though he really was thinking that, that wasn't something that was supposed to get out. Absolutely not.
Yeah. He burned that bridge.
Yes, he did.
Unfortunately.
It's you know, it's funny and all kind of good on player's choice. That they had, listen, they had Jason Williams say that, I don't know, that Kobe's the top five Laker of all time. And they picked it up. And mm-hmm. he had to back off of that statement. Now Mike James saying, well, KD said they were going to lose. Mike James is going to have to back off that statement. I think if he has any chance of keeping that relationship, he's going to have to back off that statement.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, you got
even though it's too late though, Tone. The cat's already out the bag. The milk is already spilled on the counter. So.
And Petey, like, I don't know him personally, but he seems like the type to, like, if you cross him, I don't think he's gonna let that.
No, he's out. Know. He's out. Yeah, he's out.
Like he seems like he has a very small group, and if you're part of that, like, embrace it, because I don't know how that is gonna work out for Mike and Katie, but. Yeah, it's pretty unfortunate that got out. But it is what it is. You got to watch what you say.
Oh, I don't think it's unfortunate at all.
Oh, it's great for these media outlets for stuff like that. Yo, we are in the dog days of summer. What's going on right now?
Yeah.
Baseball, the basketball tournament on ESPN. What's really going on right now, Tone? Not much.
No, baseball trade deadline, if you like.
Right.
But
right.
I'll tell you this. I think it shows us a little bit more, which I think we're already starting to know, the true character of Kevin Durant.
I'm sorry.
I know you guys always defend him. Here, you can clip this. Man. KD's not a superstar. KD, I'm going to start a new series. Why?
Yes, he is, Tone. Okay.
Enough. He doesn't have the right mentality.
Yes, he is.
Could you imagine? Wait, would LeBron James ever say
this
we're losing this series?
This being taken out of context, I think.
I'm 100%.
Yes, no. Let me give you yes or no's. Would LeBron James ever say I'm losing this series?
Out loud?
To a wife or to a close friend?
To a friend.
Right. Yes.
He's human.
I believe that.
Michael Jordan never say it?
Yes.
You're nuts. Michael Jordan would never say
we're losing. There's no way Jay thought that they could beat the 86 Celtics. No way he was thinking that. No way he was thinking.
I disagree.
No way he was thinking.
I disagree with LeBron.
No way he was thinking.
That close circle, he might say something. He's still a person.
No way he was thinking that they could beat the 88 Pistons.
They might know it. I don't think they'd ever say it.
I don't believe that. I'm confident Jay was saying in his head. I don't know. I'm confident Jay was saying in his head about the Pistons. I don't know if we could beat these dudes, but I'm going to kick Joe Dumars' ass. I'm confident that he was saying that. And
you can't say it out loud. No.
No, you can't. No, you cannot. No, you cannot.
Should or shouldn't you? That's a different issue. But do they at points when maybe they're feeling a little, you know.
All right, fine.
Or when they're drinking or who knows, you know.
Well, I just want everybody to know, starting tomorrow on TikTok, there will be an 8-part series on KD, why he's not.
Okay, can't wait.
TikTok exclusive. Maybe it'll be 4 parts. I don't know yet.
Yeah, let's start a series. I like it. Vamp had a super chat. He said, what's worse, BK getting swept or Suns game 7 loss?
I don't care what you guys try to sell me about game 7 or game 6. When you get mopped out of the playoffs, you aren't close to winning anything. I don't care where you are. When you get smoked, I don't mean you lose. When you get smoked 4 straight, you aren't close. There is no way you could sell me anything else. No way. Especially in round 1. I'm good.
Yeah,
it's so, you know, I see people in the chat saying that it's game seven. No, if you get to game seven, anything is possible because you got to game seven. That it's literally a coin flip at game seven. I don't care if it's the one versus the eight seed. If you get to game seven, listen, it's anybody's game. If you get swept, Jay says this a lot, so I'm going to steal it from Jay. If you get swept, it means that you shouldn't have even been there. Like you're not close.
You're not close.
If you get swept out of the first round after coming in through the play-in, you're not close. And I get it. There's a million excuses as to why they were in that situation, but it's always worse. Now, it might be more heartbreaking to lose a game seven because that means you had a chance to win the series.
Yep.
So I could see that. But in terms of what's worse for a team, it's worse if you get swept. That's horrible.
Well,
you couldn't muster one win.
Let me ask Haley, you being from Portland, and an honest question. In 2019, were the Portland Trailblazers close to winning it?
Yeah.
The Warriors smoked them in the Western Conference Finals. They didn't beat them, smoked them dudes. Was that team they did make the Western Conference Championship, no question about that. Were they close to winning the championship?
No.
I don't think they were close. Absolutely. And the Warriors proved it. Running up on that Warriors team and them get, not only did they get smoked, that's as good as that team was going to be. That's it. You're not getting any more from that specific unit, from what you got from them. So when I look at a team get smoked, and I can't, there isn't another word I can think of off the top of my head, except when you get swept, you got smoked and you're not close to winning it. We're not close to winning it.
But I have to say, though, I respect, I mean, getting that far, I think, was something. Also, everyone in the chat is saying that the Nets were a play-in team, yada, yada. They shouldn't have been. They only were because of...
But see, no, that's an excuse. You're making an excuse. Exactly. You're making an excuse.
Yeah, that's what you're doing.
Like, they had KD, who, in my opinion, is a superstar. There is no excuse for that sweep. Like, Kyrie, you guys want to say these are the best, most skilled duo of all time, but then when they lose, oh, you know, it's okay. No, it's not okay.
No,
it's not
they got smoked.
Losing is never okay.
No,
anyone who says losing is okay, like I want to shake them, because no, losing is never okay, never.
Yeah.
Sorry. Now I will say this: someone said in the chat, like, is losing a 3-1 lead worse than getting swept?
No.
No.
Nope.
It's close. It's close. Mm-hmm. It's close.
Tone.
Because losing a 3-1 lead.
It's more painful,
but
it could cause serious emotion.
But here's the thing: losing a 3-1 lead, Tone, we're actually close to winning the series. Whether it's the first round, whether it's the West Finals, whether it's the NBA Finals, we're actually close to winning it. When you get swept, we aren't close. This team dominated us.
Agree.
This team absolutely and utterly dominated us. We aren't close.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Who knows? Both of them, I think we'll see whether it's the Suns or the Nets. I don't know about the Suns, honestly, what to even look forward to next season. But the Nets, I think, my opinion, Katie and Kyrie will still be there.
Yeah, the Suns paid too much for that overrated guy in the middle. They're going to regret that.
Oh, no. Okay. I don't know. I don't know about you. We'll see, though. I did have a draft for today, but because we're running so late, we did have really good discussion. I'm glad we did get to it. So we'll save it for Thursday.
Yeah. What is the draft so we can prepare?
Okay. So we're going to do,
I was ready.
So we're going to do starting lineup over 30 instead of under 25.
Oh, okay.
Or should we do over 30? Is that good?
Yeah. I like that. NBA draft over 30. I like it.
Okay, cool.
Drafted. We'll, can I draft myself, or do they have to be currently in the NBA?
One currently in the NBA and over 30, not over 50, no, not over 60, okay, not over 70, no, Tone, because you and I, Tone, we are like 75 in dog years. And Tone, do you know that the Memphis Grizzlies don't have one guy on their team that's 30 years old? We are like grandfathers.
Not one dude.
And
can you just, as we go out, what was, you gave me a stat before we started. What percentage of the league is over 30?
As of right now, in the NBA, we going into the 22-23 season. I think that I count less than 60 players in the NBA that are 30 and over.
That's crazy.
What?
That's crazy. Oh, Bob Cousy. Yes, I am. I am picking Bob Cousy. Yes, he is greater than JJ Redick. I am picking him.
Oh, so we can do retired too.
No.
Currently active. Currently active players. No.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
That's crazy.
Yes. Wow. I think it's right around 60 players in the entire NBA that are 30 and over. It's a young man's league, no doubt about that. Like I said, Memphis has zero guys on their roster that are 30 years old. The New Orleans Hornets, I think they got one guy on their roster that's 30 years old. You got a bunch of teams that got a bunch of kids running around here. Meanwhile, Tone's Lakers had 10 guys that's 37. That's why they trash. Get the Lakers out of here. Get them off. Hey, Tone, get the Lakers off my TV, Tone.
I'm just gonna draft all the Lakers.
Get this crew off my TV, Tone.
Good. I like watching the Lakers out of almost frustration because we battled so much. Even and LeBron being on that team, it was a whole nother level. But and I tried watching games last season. I couldn't finish them.
It was bad.
Get
these dudes off my TV. Get them off. Yeah. I can't handle it. Nope.
Yep. It's crazy times. But we'll wrap it up. Any last thoughts from the chat or YouTube?
I'm good, y'all. It's the New Orleans Pelicans. My fault, King. My fault. Yeah, not the Hornets. Say the Pelicans. My fault. I apologize.
I'm playing you out. It's the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
Jay, take us away, Jay.
Take it light, but take it.
It's the only thing we understand. I'ma stand till on Jersey in the stands. I'ma hit you on the slide. I don't never.